Didn't these young folks do a great job worshiping God with us tonight, leading us into the presence of God? Amen. I call them young folks because they're all younger than me. I'm just more experienced than they are, I guess, right? Isn't that the new phrase? We have got more experience. Praise the Lord. I'm getting my notes up here ready. All right. Praise God. Well, it's good to be here again. Pinch hitting for Pastor Miss Hagen. They were scheduled to come. They've had a really busy last several weeks, and we just kind of were talking today at service, and I was scheduled to preach at Raymond Bible Church in Broken Arrow there, but they asked me to come here, which is always a great honor for me, and so we're glad to be here again, and they want you to know, of course, they send their love, and they'll be here just as soon as they are able to get here again, and I know you know it here, but we have pastors we have to share with the world just because of their calling and what God's placed on them and the responsibilities that they have. And we're really honored to have them as pastors. You know, you think about when they show up in Samoa, the president of Samoa shows up at the airport and greets them. When they go to Nigeria, they get a presidential escort and like 7-8 cars of security. I mean, they're treated like, you know, and they just roll in here and say, "Hey, Pastor," you know, which is fine. They love that aspect too. But we thank God for them and all that God has accomplished in and through that family. Amen? Praise the Lord. Well, I want to talk to you tonight about just some basic things to remind us about our authority as believers. We have authority. And then, you know, and what is that authority and who do we have authority over? Let's look at that tonight. And it's probably the authority the believers unveiled more fully in the prayers that the Apostle Paul prayed in Ephesians than in probably any other place. And so I want us to turn there, first of all, to Ephesians chapter 1, and then we'll look at Ephesians chapter 3 also. Ephesians chapter 1 and Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll begin in verse 16 in Ephesians chapter 1. And I'm going to read from the King James Bible, and I may un-King James it as I go along. So don't go try to buy this Bible translation at any store. All right, it doesn't exist. But as I read, I automatically take the these and thous and some of the, you know, and I just do that. But I'm so used to the King James Bible, I stay with it in my study and in my preaching. Not that I don't use some of the other translations. All right, you ready here in chapter 1 of Ephesians, verse 16? Paul says there, "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." He said, "I cease not." So in other words, this is a prayer that he's prayed over and over again, not just a one-time prayer. This isn't like Mark 11:24, where whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive and you shall have them, that you just pray that prayer one time. This is a prayer we pray for ourselves and for others. "I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." So he prays here. Basically, we could say it this way, just to be blunt about it, that the light would go on, right? That we would have wisdom and revelation in what, though? In the knowledge of God, not in just something, you know. And it's great to have wisdom and knowledge in other areas, you know. On the way over here, on the drive over here, I was listening to sports talk radio. I like to listen to sports talk radio, and sometimes you can learn some stuff on there, sometimes you can't. But I wouldn't classify that as the wisdom and knowledge of God, okay? We're talking about knowledge in the things of God here, concerning us and our life, and that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened. Now notice, he's writing this. The book of Ephesians is an interesting book in that it's written, if you really look at it, break it down, to the saints and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. Well, that'd be you and I. We're in Christ. So this book is written to you and I. And in it, he's talking here. He didn't say, "Boy, let's pray real good that the pastor would have wisdom and revelation." Now, does the pastor need it? Oh, absolutely. He didn't say, "Pray that the apostle," you know, "the eyes of the apostle." No, he says, "I'm praying for you, you saint, you faithful one in Christ. That's everyone that's named the name of the Lord. That's talking about us. And so he lists three things that in verse 18, first of all, that you may know. I love that. We don't have to wonder. We don't have to guess. But that we may know what is the hope of his calling. Well, there's several things involved there, just to briefly state. Number one, the calling of our salvation. What does it mean to be in Christ? What does it mean to, concerning those things? What are we called to with our salvation? But also, the hope or the confident expectation that God has of the Christian life and therefore ministry that we all have on this earth. What is God? So we're supposed to know that. I hear people say, well, I just don't know what God... Well, I know this. If you'll pray this prayer, the answers will come. Insert yourself in there. Pray this prayer for yourself. Pray it for others. If you find something, well, I just don't know what I'm supposed to do. Start praying this prayer for them. Okay? And they should know. Then he says, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Well, we have an inheritance. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But then also, we are what God has inherited through the actions of Jesus. When Jesus came to the earth and died, what did God get back? We got you. Amen. And he calls that the riches of the glory of his inheritance. I got good news for you tonight. God doesn't feel cheated at all. Amen. He valued you so much that he gave his only begotten son. He gave his life on this earth, and God still doesn't feel cheated. Now, sometimes we might look at ourselves and say, boy, God, you're getting a bad deal here. But you know, God doesn't look at that. He doesn't look at our value based on anything outside. He looks at our value on who we are and in his family. That's just wonderful news. And then he says in verse 19, what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Now I want to stop for just a moment and say this concerning authority. If Jesus had not risen from the dead, there would be no authority. That's the key issue. Now, listen, I'm going to make a statement here, but I don't want you to misinterpret what I'm saying. Because to make light of the cross would be foolish, right? But if it had just been the cross without the resurrection, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15, we'd still be in our sins. Amen. Thank God for the cross, all right? But the resurrection made us who we are in Christ now. And that because of that, we have authority. Think about Romans 10, verse 9 and 10. In fact, if you want to turn over there, that's fine. I didn't give that verse to them, but they might be able to find it. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you will confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart, what? That God raised Jesus from the dead. What is it we have to believe? That God raised Jesus from the dead. He says, you shall be saved. For with the heart, man believes unto righteousness. Now, what do we believe? That God raised Jesus from the dead. All right. And then it says, with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. But notice the belief aspect there is that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then over in Hebrews chapter 1, it talks about how God raised him up. He says, this day have I begotten thee. Not when he was born in Bethlehem, but when God raised him up. That's when he received that name that's above every name. Well, that's just part. But he says he prays here that we would understand that authority which and that power that he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Now look at verse 21 here of Ephesians chapter 1, please. Far above. Say that, far above. Far above. Not just a little. I'll tell you what, God never does anything just barely. You ever notice that about God? It's just not barely. It's far above. You know, I like to watch some, you know, I like the movie The Ten Commandments. But you know that part when the sea splits and the children of Israel are going over on dry land and they just barely make it out before the sea folds back up? That didn't happen that way, folks. God just didn't bury it. I mean, they didn't even get a splash of water on them. Because that pillar of fire standing there in front of Pharaoh, his chariots can go anywhere. children of Israel are already through the Red Sea before he even went down in there. Then the water came in on top of all them. God doesn't just barely deliver anybody. It's a full deliverance. Hallelujah. It's fully done. Far above all principality and power and might and dominion. Now he's talking about authorities there. And every name that is named, not only in this world, but also that which is to come. Now notice this part. And has put all things under his feet. All things, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that fills all in all. Now look over in Hebrews chapter 3. Let's read this prayer here. So far above, he said, seated. He seated him far above and put all things under his feet. And he's the head and we are the body. Well, are the feet part of the body? Well, then, all that power and dominion that he mentions there, we're going to look at who that belongs to, is under us then, if we're in the body. Here in Ephesians 3, verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit, in the inner man. So he comes back to that strong, talking about the power there, this strength and this might. It's not some outward power, it's inner strength. It's the dynamic power. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead that's in us. But with it, he's given us authority in that. But he talks about that power would strengthen us, that Christ, verse 17, may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled, now notice this, with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us, unto him be glory through the church by Jesus, in the church by Jesus Christ throughout all ages. One more, let's look at Ephesians chapter 6 now. Now, in light of what Paul's just prayed there in these two passages, and I really wonder if Paul, if it wasn't part of the same prayer, but Paul just got to preaching in between it. I heard T.L. Osborne say one time that, you know, he would get invited to dignitaries and kings of countries to have a meal with them. Because he would have these great meetings, and you know thousands of people are flooding to these stadiums and the open fields to hear him preach the gospel. And so the ruler of that area, or even a king of a whole nation, would want to meet him and have him for a meal. Well, he said, they didn't invite me there to preach, but they'd always ask me to invoke a blessing upon the food we were about to eat. And he said, I learned how to preach a good prayer. Amen. Well, I wonder if Paul got to pray in there and he just got to talking about that power, and he just kind of, you know, once he got to verse 19 there, then he kind of, because he kind of picked it back up there. But here in Ephesians chapter 6, look at verse 12. See, what good, this power, this dominion that we are over, whose power, whose dominion is that? Well, look at verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. All right? It's obvious here then that our combat is with the devil and his forces, demons, if you will, evil spirits. And he says here, we have authority over these. Not just some of us have authority, but all of us have authority over the devil. Now, I think if there's probably one area that most of the church world has missed it in, is understanding that every member of the body of Christ has authority over the devil. And really, quite honestly, you can, two of us can agree together, but you can take authority over the devil. You don't need me. I don't have any greater authority over the devil than you do in your own life. In fact, you have greater authority in your life than I do. Now, we're not wrestling with one another, are we? But against these, you know, and sometimes people read that list, you know, it, and they go, oh, you know, these, and they get it all excited about these spiritual wickedness. They get all excited about these different things, you know, how, you know, what's the ranking? I don't care how you rank the devil's kingdom. Well, I've got authority over it all, and so do you. All right? And so our combat, we should understand this, that our combat with the devil should always come from this thought pattern and from this foundation, and we should keep this in our consciousness that we have authority over him because Jesus has already defeated him. Amen. Amen. Jesus, God raised Jesus from the dead and set him at his right hand far above. Now, again, not just a little. This wasn't a little victory God won, this was a great victory. And so the Lord Jesus Christ defeated the devil on our behalf. He is a defeated foe. So when we're dealing with the devil, you know, Jesus said in John 10, and of course, you know, if you've ever heard Craig Hagin preach, you know that verse. That's his favorite verse, I think. I don't know that he can preach a sermon without John 10:10 coming out. But it says the thief comes. Not, the King James says. In other words, the reason the thief comes, and it's obvious that's the devil, is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. I was thinking about that one time, about a thief. Okay? A thief. Now, is it possible for a thief to come and steal something from you that doesn't belong to you? I mean, if you have it, can it be stolen from you? I mean, if you don't have it? No. No. And he said he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, we don't have time to get in all of it, you know. I've talked to you here before, and I'm sure you've heard it before. But when you start looking in the Word of God, you begin to understand sickness and disease comes from the devil. Right? Yes. Yes. Acts 10:38 says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So everyone whom Jesus healed, according to that scripture, when Jesus was here on the earth, and he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, was being oppressed by the devil. Okay? We've got to do away with, see, the thinking that God's brought this on me. Listen, folks, God's not using the devil to teach you a lesson. All right? The devil and God aren't working together at all. Okay? Not at all. That's what Jesus said. He came to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come to give you life and that more abundantly. So you can see the opposite. So think about this consciousness is what I'm talking about. This thought that the devil's a defeated foe. If all he's doing is trying to steal from me, to kill and destroy, then I must not be a sick person. I must be a healed person. He's trying to steal my healing. Now think about that. The Bible says, by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. Healing belongs to us. Healing belongs to the body of Christ. Sickness and disease is not of God. And so if that comes against me, those symptoms come against me, it's trying to steal something that belongs to me. A thief can't steal what I don't possess. So evidently, I must possess healing. I'll tell you something else I possess. I possess all my needs being met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Any lack that I might have is the devil against me, but I've got authority over him. But I have to operate in that authority. Okay. What is, praise the Lord. There's so many directions we could go here. I want to try to stick to this, this here. We receive this authority when we're born again. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, please, again, verse number 3. Hallelujah. If you want to understand the things that Brother Hagin wrote on the subject of faith, you need to understand the subject of believer's authority, because it's all based on that. The ability to speak to the mountain and the mountain move is based upon the fact that you have authority to speak words of faith and that those words have to be obeyed. Now, if someone without authority was to tell you something, you don't even pay attention to that, do you? Right? I mean, if they don't have any authority. It's you know, that's one of the fun things of raising children, you know, when they try to exercise authority they don't have. You're the parent, you know, and they're going to come in and tell you, they're going to rise up and try to tell you that they're going to do this and that. No authority. Right? So you just, you know, you have to deal with that. But when it comes to Dell, we've got complete authority over him. Amen. That's why we can speak to that. Now here in Ephesians 1 verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. Now that's past tense, right? With all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, in italics, so literally all spiritual blessings in or from the heavenlies in Christ. Well, every spiritual blessing, here again, notice it's the whole church, not just a special few, but the whole church have received these blessings. Well, that would include this authority that we're talking about. So, the authority is ours whether we realize it or not. Now, you know as well as I do, we can have something and never act on it. Paul told Timothy, he said, look, stir up that gift that's in you. Stir up the gift of God that's in you. Well, you can have authority and never act upon it. There's a true story told of a former woman who served the queen, a very high-ranking official in England. And this person, you know, after this person died, well, of course, their services were no longer needed, but she just kind of went away, and she was given this, you know, given a certificate from them, but she was uneducated. She couldn't read what it said. And they found her living in a little box house. But on the wall, framed on this wall, was this certificate. All right? And they found her there because someone had gone, they started to do some inquiry about some things, and they went to look for her, and they found her there. And the person that found her said, Can I take that picture? And oh, no. That was given to me by, you know, Mrs. You know, she gave that to me. I can't. No. You know, that's the only thing I have of all those years. She treated me so well, and that's all I have left. They said, well, I promise you we'll bring it back. I promise you we'll bring it back. Well, reluctantly, she let them take it. Well, they went and got it, had it looked at, authorities looked at it, and got it authenticated, and found out that it was a certificate that was signed and already provision had been laid aside for her. This was her certificate that said for the rest of her life, she was to live in such and such a house and such a servants and such an income based upon the will of this woman who she had served all these years. And here she would had it all this time and didn't know it and never acted upon it until late in life. Yet it belonged to her the whole time. Amen. Another true story, there was a man who he had desired, you know, back in the days when, like, probably most of our ancestors and our families, you know, they saved and they believed God, and they got on a boat and came over to this country. I know my family, you go back in my family's history and the registration, you can go to Ellis Island, you can find them, you can find exactly the day they came here and they signed in, you know, and how our name used to be spelled in Europe and how it's spelled now and, you know, the different things of that, but that's them, and you go back to Europe and you can find the family there, but they did all they could, and this one man, you know, he got his ticket. He was so, he finally had enough to buy the ticket. But, you know, he didn't have enough. He didn't, they had fine restaurants on this ship, but he never came to eat. You know, he'd look in there, but he'd go back. He brought crackers and peanut butter, some type of spread. And they'd be in there eating these fine meals, and he'd go back to his room, and he'd spread, you know, his little spread on his crackers, and he'd eat those, you know, so thankful to have that. He's going, you know, to this new land and new opportunities. Finally, on the last day of the voyage, they finally found, and one of the assistants to the captain asked him, said, is there something wrong? you haven't come and joined us at all for any of the meals. Oh, he said, oh no. He said, I looked at, no, nothing's wrong. It's just been such a lovely voyage, and you've treated me so well. He said, well, how come you haven't come eat with us? He said, I just had enough money to buy the ticket just for my room. And they looked at him so sad, and they said, didn't you know that everything was included in the price of the ticket? He's eating crackers and peanut butter, and he had in his hand the ticket that guaranteed him filet mignon, lobster, you know what I'm saying? And he's living, but he didn't know what he had. We've got authority over the devil and in our life. We don't have to put up with the devil's junk in our life. Amen. We don't have to put up with that. Glory to God. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in the heavenly places. Now, of course, the devil doesn't want us to know this. See, knowledge acted upon gets results. Look in John chapter 8. Glory to God. Hallelujah. John chapter 8. Jesus. Verse 32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now you hear people quote that all the time. Well, the truth will make you free. Well, that's not all he said, is it? He said, you shall know the truth. Now, we started off by reading that in Ephesians chapter 1, that we would have a spirit of revelation and knowledge of him, the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, that we would know. He said, you will know the truth. But then we know other places too. Jesus said, if you're a hearer of the word only and not a doer. I mean, James said that, but you might as well say Jesus said it. But James, in James chapter 1, if you're a hearer of the word only and not a doer, you deceive yourself. We have to be a doer. So when you act upon the knowledge that you have, that's when you're going to get results. And so when we act upon the authority that we have, when we act upon that, then we can have the results. See, don't always be looking for someone else to set you free and to help you get when it already belongs to you. You don't need, now I'm not, listen, when I say this, we need one another. But you don't need one another in the sense that it belongs to you already. Now that's where the mature Christians and the baby, that's helping, we can help the baby Christians. And everybody's at different places. Amen? I mean, I'm sure when Shirley got that doctor's report, how many years has that been? 39 years. Cancer, got to die. That's a long 39 years. What happened? The word said something else concerning her situation. And the word acted upon produces results. You see. Thank God. Hallelujah. Look at Luke chapter 10. Now, sometimes, you know, the King James Bible didn't always translate some of these words, 100% the same all the time. But here, Luke chapter 10, let's finish this up by talking about what authority is. All right, we'll end with this scripture tonight because there's so much more. Hey, go get the book Believer's Authority out there, Authority of the Believer, whatever. What is ours called? Believer's Authority, I think. Get that book and read that. A lot, okay? Luke chapter 10, verse 19. Behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Now here you understand, he's talking about in verse 18 about Satan. So these serpents and scorpions are a type of the devils, of these principalities and powers and rulers of darkness that we read about in Ephesians. But here, literally, he said, behold, I give you authority. That first word, power, is from the word that actually translated authority. A lot of modern translations will say authority here. I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over, everybody knows that word, over all the power of the enemy. So is there anything that the devil has that Jesus hasn't given us authority over? Absolutely not. We have authority over it. Now, we know this. There's one enemy that's still to be put under death, and that's the death of this physical body, physical death. All right? But we've got authority over spiritual death already. We're already born again. The life of God is in us. We're partakers of eternal life now. If this body quits functioning, we'll just step right out of it. We'd be more alive then than we ever have been. We're alive now. See, we've got authority over that spiritual death. Because Jesus rose from the dead. Amen? Amen? We have authority in that. Authority is, we could say it this way, is delegated power. It's delegated power. And the authority is only as good as the power that's behind it. But you have to use it. Okay? Now, you know, the number one way you use your authority is by speaking words of faith. Speaking words of faith, and using the name of Jesus. Those two things, in prayer, in speaking, but speaking words of faith and using that name. That's how we operate in that authority. When we are fully conscious of the fact that the power of God is backing us, then we don't have to be afraid of anything. We don't have to have any fear. Hallelujah. No fear whatsoever because of that authority that and that power that is behind us. You know, you think about, you know, probably out this part of town, we're not going to have it that often. But, you know, you might be, and I have been. I remember last year about this time, this weekend, my son and I came down and we went to the NCAA basketball tournament and saw two games down there. And there was a lot of traffic downtown, down by, you know, the stadium down there. And all that goes on downtown Oklahoma City. Well, there were police officers everywhere directing traffic. Now, you know this. They don't have the physical power to stop your vehicle, but they sure have the authority based upon what? The power that's behind them, which is what? The government, right? And so what do you do when they do this? You stop, or you better stop, or that would be the last time you drive for a long time. Okay, you have to stop. Well, see, they're using authority. They're not using physical strength. A lot of times, you know, we get the idea, Ephesians 6:10, be strong in the Lord and the power. We're hunkering down. We're getting ready. I'm being strong in the Lord and the power. No, you can't get strong enough. It's strong in the Lord. Just like that police officer. He doesn't, okay, I got to stop traffic. Here I go. Whew. Boy, stop. No. I mean, Barney Fife could be out there just blow. You know, except for Gomer didn't listen to him. But anyway, it's one of my favorite episodes, Citizen's Arrest. But anyway, you hold his hand, he has to stop. Well, the devil, when we speak words of faith, the devil has to stop and he has to go. Amen. We have authority. You have authority over the devil. Father, we thank you tonight for your word. We give you honor and we give you praise. Thank you for Jesus. He's risen from the dead, glory to God, and seated at your right hand in heavenly places far above, far above. And we're seated there with him in Christ in that place of authority. Thank you for it, Father. Father, I thank you that as we speak words of faith and speak in the name of Jesus, that what we say comes to pass as it's in lined up with your word. Father, we give you all authority. We give you all praise and all glory and all honor for this authority that you've invested in us. Hallelujah. We thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Everybody said together, amen. Well, glory to God. Don't you love God's word? Isn't it good? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, praise God. Well, did we have some first-time guests tonight? Praise God. If you're here, if our connections team we're going to get you that special gift on behalf of Pastor Mrs. Hagen and Craig, Pastor Craig. Come on back when they're here. Amen. You want to be blessed by their ministry. We're so glad you're here tonight. And if you're here tonight and you need prayer for anything, I don't know where Greg went, but he said he was going to be up here. He's about out and about. Anybody here at all, you need prayer for anything whatsoever, raise your hand at me. Right here, Jeff. Yeah. I'll stay right. Anybody else? Yeah. I'll stay up here afterwards. Come on. Well, here comes Greg. Greg, we've got a couple folks who want to come forth that want some prayer for some things, okay? So I'm going to let Greg do that. I'm going to greet folks. But see, you don't make the mistake. Well, I need you, Tad. I don't have any more authority than Greg does. I don't have any authority than you do. All right. But it is good to pray with people sometimes, you know, to help them. We join our faith together with you. All right. So here in just a moment, as I dismiss, go over here and talk to Greg and he'll pray with you. God bless you. Be back here next week. Right. Anything else going on, Greg, that we need to say anything about? All right. See you next week. I'm glad to. It's a little bit easier to spring ahead at a night service, isn't it, than it is in that morning service. God bless you so much. Amen.